Hi, hi, hi. Welcome to Bye, Bye, Bye. My name's Imogen.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Claire.
Nailed it!
Woo! Round of applause for us.
It was so hard not to laugh, I swear to God.
25 episodes and we got our intro down.
We should just, I'll just record that and repeat it every single time now.
Fuck it up tomorrow. Yeah, you should just...
Make a sound bite out of it.
Yeah, we're gonna
fuck it up next time.
Absolutely we are.
We'll have a gag reel of all the times we fucked it up.
they can go up on the Patreon for people who can, they can download it for their ringtones. Yes.
Awesome. I love it. Okay. Like I said, welcome to episode 25. Today's topic is sleep is a lie.
Yep.
Oh. This is news to me.
That's not news to me.
I'm sorry. I might have stolen all your sleep, Claire.
What? Well, like 2 out of 3.
And keep passing back and forth migraines.
Oh my God, we do. Wait, do you have it today?
I actually feel okay. Maybe we finally banished it. Maybe. It got tired of both of us.
I hope so, because I am back in the gym tomorrow. Hell or high water, there I go.
Oh, good on you. I did something different when my run the other day, which was just... I nearly died. I was so terrible.
I mean, I know running is good for you, but God, at what cost?
Exactly. Yes. No, I did like I've been doing like half an hour runs, just like at a slow pace, really slow, like literally, you know, 1.01 above walking pace. And so my sister, who runs at a proper pace, sort of said, "Oh, you should probably try and increase your pace." So I was like, "Okay, I'll go back to the beginning of the Couch to 10K app and." Go faster. Oh my God, I nearly died. Oh my God. 15 minutes of pure hell. And I'm just like, oh fuck.
Yeah, I've gotta drop some weight before I can do the Couch to 5K thing because my knees are like, bitch, are you kidding us? So I can do the elliptical like 2 to 3 times a week, but running is out.
Yeah, I cannot run because I've got, I don't know, like mild athletic asthma or something. Because
I thought you were gonna say three dogs, and I was like, yeah, that'd be messy.
But no, if I try to run, like I feel like my lungs are going to, I don't know, set on fire and destroy me.
Do you have Do you take asthma medication?
No, I probably should, but I just literally no. I just avoid running.
It's cheaper.
Yeah, it's like I can swim and stuff because that doesn't strain me in the same way.
Actually, swimming is supposed to be good for asthma.
Oh yeah,
swimming's it's good because it makes you
really good.
Yeah,
exercise. Yeah, because I'm asthmatic too, and I'm constant medication for it, so it doesn't actually affect me.
I don't take anything.
Whatever. Now I'm talking, actually, but I'm getting psychosomatic asthma right now because we're talking about it. So excuse me while I just have a puff on my puffer.
Well, Claire and I live under the American healthcare system, so it's like cheaper to just ignore shit until it makes
it's
you bankrupt.
It's cheaper to just die, isn't it?
It's cheaper to just die. Oh.
God.
We're only a couple minutes in. We've already hit the black humor.
Hey.
Woo. Oh, boy.
Well, if we started off talking about running, of course we were going to go die.
We're going to inevitably end up talking about dying.
There was only one place to go from there.
Exactly.
Speaking of athleticism, Closeted in Canada writes to agree with me and say that hockey players are objectively prettier than any other group of athletes.
Yeah, and I'm going to say you're objectively ignored. Canada and Canada light. Of course you're going to say that.
Well, I think, and
I'm pretty
she
sure
said
only
this too.
Canada and Canada light are going to say that.
You know, my experience has been otherwise, but I mean, I'll go with it. I'll go.
I don't think I've actually ever seen a hockey player. I can't can't make a comment. Whenever I've seen them, they've got helmets on, and you actually can't see their faces or their bodies. So,
well,
I have no idea what they look like.
Yeah, see, she still thinks that's hot. I don't understand.
I was telling Closet in Canada this morning while I was making the show notes that, like, I have this weird goalie kink. Like, how the fuck do I find 20 pounds of padding that attractive? Like, and I'm sure it's way more than 20 pounds. Like, they're wearing a lot of padding. You can see, like, their eyes.
Like, it's like opening a present, isn't it? Or peeling a banana, but you don't like bananas.
So, I don't know, but it looks like they're wearing armor made in Minecraft. And, and for some reason, that works for me.
You know what? It's the video game. Your video game sexual. Like, that's the thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's the closest thing you get to Alistair's armor.
Oh, possibly. So, I mean, I've...
see, because I find Grey Warden armor hot. I do not find a big square lump of padding hot.
No, personally, I think hockey is very cultural. Like, I think if you don't live in an area that has a team, I don't think you're into it as big, you know, and that gets more obvious when you go far south, because, like, no one in the south has hockey teams, and then all of a sudden Texas is like, "Woo, we're the best!" And it's like, have you ever seen ice? How do you? But they do.
We have an ice hockey team. Actually, I knew someone who was on the women's ice hockey team for Australia.
Nice.
Which goes to show how hard it is to get into. No, that's not true. She's a very good hockey player. But yeah, I went and saw a game once at our only ice rink. We've only got one. Like, 2.5 hour drive out of the city. It was fun. But yeah, I think women hockey players are hot. Women hockey players are very hot. Yeah,
I've not seen many,
just
but
because I think most women athletes are hot.
Yeah, actually, we were talking about cricket last week, and I criminally failed to mention that I was watching some women's cricket the other day, and just, like, a gog, because men male cricketers, like, especially back in the past, because you only actually have to run like 20 meters if you're a male cricketer to bowl.
Actually, some American footballers only have to run that distance too.
yeah. I mean, if you're batting and you have to do lots, but, you know, most of the time you only get to do one or two runs at a time if you're batting, so it's like a 50 meters, if that. So a lot of the male cricketers when I was a kid had beer bellies, paunches. Because they were very, very famous for going to halftime and getting absolutely plastered before going back out of the field again.
I mean, that's like historically with us in baseball.
Yeah.
Well,
they don't have to run much either, do they? It's like stand around and wait for the ball to get hit towards them. And
baseball is like 15 minutes of action crammed into 4 hours.
Yeah. Crammed in. So much to do and so much time to do it in.
You guys, I have to give a little shout out to my husband who just opened the door and handed me my first peppermint mocha of the season, because he remembered yesterday I was lamenting that I haven't done any chocolate peppermint things since December started, but he just handed it to me and left. So
what a man.
I know.
Can he drop one off for me too? I know it's a bit of a way. I know it's a bit of a drive, but you can have one off for me.
Yeah, I'll just send him out. It's fine.
Cool. Getting to bring me Taco Bell as well.
That would be a disgusting care package, by the way.
I'm just wondering if you could get away with posting it in an Esky or something. Like, put it in an Esky. Post it.
I will wrap your Christmas present in a Taco Bell bag.
Get the wafts of smell. Oh, you should put some of the sauce packets in there.
Yes! Oh my god, that's amazing. Oh, I thought we were going to get away without talking about food today, but we didn't.
No. I had breakfast, but then we delayed the recording, and now I'm hungry again.
I'm sorry. You can blame my lack of gallbladder. You guys, we got our first questions from Twitter today.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We're hitting the bit time.
Yeah, we're like multi-social media platform mavens.
Yes.
Tom on Twitter asks, have you ever been in a proper fight?
Ooh, like a fist fight.
Well, see, I have to ask, like, proper fight? What, is he going to, like, Weehawken at dawn? You know, are there, like, rules and shit? Because, like, isn't the point of a fight that it's not proper? I don't know.
I think that's a duel.
Yeah.
Isn't that a form of fighting?
I've not been in a duel, but I have been in various forms of fights.
I like punch-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Have you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh. Wow, I just like...
I mean, like, I wanted to play hockey when I was a kid because I like hitting people.
That is the most ironic thing you've ever said to me in your entire life. Like, I know we have this sisterly relationship going, but man, I just got a little hot and bothered. The idea of little Claire punching somebody, like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. The one and only detention I got in my life was kicking a guy into his locker. So, you know.
Cool. Sorry, that's awesome. I think I punched a kid when I was 6.
You were going to say when you were a teacher.
No. God, I wanted to. But no, I punched a kid. I punched a kid when I was 6 years old who kissed me. He tried to kiss me and so I punched him.
Nice.
Good on you.
See, I didn't fight when I was really little. When I was really little, though, I fucking bullshitted my way out of it. There was some older kid. He was trying to, like, bully me. I don't remember what the fuck about. And I'd, like, made up this long, elaborate lie about some sort of martial art that I knew and, like, the move I was going to use on him, and he left me alone.
Cool.
I
was, like, 6 or something.
I don't know if this is surprising, but like I've never, outside of like sibling skirmishes and a few touches of domestic violence, I've never been in a proper fight.
Yeah, like, I've never been in a punch up. Wait,
yeah, it's quite often.
Yeah, I think I'm like most likely to break my fingers trying to punch someone.
I've split up a couple as a teacher. I've like held kids back, but they've like literally half my height kids. Just, like, you know how you put your
head cartoon thing where you like hold their heads and their legs keep.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, or you pick them up by the scruff of their shirt, and they just go. Anyway,
their limbs are just windmilling around.
Yeah. Yes. And I once so that I did that a couple of times when I was teaching because we was at a fairly rough school.
Yeah.
But the year 12s, like the year 11s and 12s, that's our 2 senior years, we had a lot of Islander kids and they were fucking huge. And there was a big fight on playground once between these two guys.
They build them big here on the islands. They do.
Oh, they do. Gosh, yeah. They're big boys.
And they swim greased fish.
And they hit like fucking trucks, I'll tell you that much. They hit they were having a big fight on playground. And it was actually one of the teachers, a PE teacher, who was he was a fairly well muscled dude, but he was about a half these kids' height. He just got in between them and pushed them away, and I was just like, oh my God, you're amazing. I couldn't do that. And it was really, really cool. And then also another thing about the Islander kids that we were teaching, they were all very what's the word? They're all bros and they're all really cool with each other. And once the teacher got in there, the rest of the Islander kids helped separate them. So that was really cool.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, there was blood and stuff. It was pretty intense.
I guess like a fight breaks out at Baby Bai's school like almost daily, but the only one I
really
yeah apparently it's a
huge... like 30 kids at her school though.
No, she goes to a big public school now.
Oh, right, okay.
She switched to the local public this year, and she loves it. But the only fight that I've seen when I was there was I was dropping her off late one day, and I was leaving the school, and traffic got stopped because two boys had spilled into the street. Now, mind you, like it was a cross-section coming out of the school, and one lane is or one street is 4 lanes and the other one is a regular residential road and they're just like in the intersection brawling.
Oh wow.
I mean cars are like skittering out of the way because they come around the curve and they're like, oh my God, there's kids fighting in the street. They were just going at each other and this guy comes up and just like whips his truck around and blocks all traffic. He's got this huge truck that doesn't look like it should fit on Hawaii and gets out and breaks up the fight.
Wow.
Like, it was the most surreal thing I've ever seen.
It's funny. I mean, it's an interesting question because there was that Twitter thing recently. Oh, some bloke, some American politician, you know, they're all interchangeable for me, said something along the lines of, I do not know a single man who hasn't been in a bar fight. Like, and I was just like,
Oh, I think
I don't know. Was
that happened during the Kavanaugh hearings?
Yeah, it did. And I said, I don't know a single man. Like, I know a lot of adult men, in their 40s, because that's how old I am. I don't know a single man who has been in a bar.
Oh yeah, same. I'm just like, I mean, it was all them trying to justify Kavanaugh being,
yeah.
I'm just like, for fuck's sake.
I mean, regular fights, but like, I think bar fights are played up a lot. They don't happen nearly as much as they do on TV.
Listen, yeah, no, I'm drunk.
Let's fight. Them's fighting words.
I've seen more fights in church parking lots than I have in bars. Oh, well, Closet in Canada writes to us and asks, is the Kevin Smith film Dogma an appropriate way of teaching Catholicism to non-Catholics? Or
heck yeah.
is it inexplicable to non-Catholics?
I'm trying to sort out reality in my brain, because I swear to God, we watched it in my Catholic high school. But I'm like, that must be a delusion. That can't actually be the truth. I know I've seen it, but I swear. Maybe it was just parts of it that got pulled up in.
Did your school have a Catholicism Wow Week? A buddy Christ standing at the entranceway.
Buddy Christ.
Like, I feel like maybe one of the teachers pulled up some scenes that were, I don't know.
That's possible, because I really feel like,
because it does have some very Catholic, you know.
Well, I feel really like Catholic. Dogma was very cleverly written.
Yeah.
Because
it didn't contradict anything.
No, nothing was specifically wrong that wasn't, like,
yeah,
disproportionately portrayed. And then, like, the stuff that was true, like, they went total absurdism with it, and so it just worked. And at me if you want, but I think Dogma was a pretty good representation or explanation of the Catholic Church, at least at the time. And yeah,
it's been long enough since I've seen it that I can't say anymore.
I don't remember much. I mean, like,
I do remember someone, an interview with Kevin Smith when it first came out, and him actually talking about his own Catholicism and how much he was. It was not just a parody, it was an homage,
yeah,
to Catholicism. And I think that, yeah, obviously not everyone agrees with that, but and I can't speak to it particularly well, because I'm not Catholic. Although, as I said last week, I am married to one, so I get a plus one free pass to a mass of my choosing. Anyway,
I do know several people that I grew up with who considered it complete blasphemy. Like, like, there were like calls for Kevin Smith to be like branded a heretic or something. I don't know. But whatever, I like all of his movies, so.
that can dovetail into a new segment that we were talking about last week doing, Claire, which would be Sin of the Week.
Oh, Sin of the Week! Yeah!
Is there an obscure Catholic sin you'd like to tell us about this week?
I mean, unless you were... Did you include my one from last week in the episode?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes, I think I did.
Because I talked about it after we ended the show.
No, I didn't put it in the show then, no.
Okay.
No. So you can use
I'm
going to
bring that
week,
one up,
because
I still think it's real damn funny, which is that it is a sin to use role play in sex, because you're pretending that the person you're having sex with, who is your spouse, by the way, because otherwise you should not be having sex.
that would be a different sin entirely.
Yeah. You're pretending that there's someone else, and thus, you know, you're pretending like you're not having sex with your spouse, and thus in the whole idea of things that you think are also sins, even if you don't act them out, you're sinning by, you know, pretending to commit adultery. Oh.
Wow.
We're actually gonna get to some of this later. I found an article about advice for Victorian young brides. So
I'll be sure to make a good list of sins for each subsequent week.
Are there any, like, fighting related sins?
I mean, you're not supposed to fight. I'm trying to think of anything more specific.
I'm trying to think of topical sins.
Like, violence is bad.
unless it's been unless God told you to do it, then well, yes, you're okay.
There's also there's a whole principle of double effect. Like, if you're trying to do something good and not something that, like, you're not trying to kill people, you're trying to stop the spread of fascism, then it's not a sin.
Okay. Oh, is fascism a sin, though? Is fascism a sin?
I mean, they think a lot of things are sins. I've heard, that, like, let's see, like, democracy is good and godly. Although, no, fascism is not, because I definitely once had my morality teacher say every single form of governance can be good. Like, a dictator could be good if that dictator was benevolent, a good person. But I was like, how would you become a dictator if you were a good person to
like just everybody say, hey, we like you. We would like you to be our dictator.
That's pretty much how it goes sometimes. I mean, you know, ridiculously simplified. That's what happened with the Russian Revolution. they all went, let's put Lenin in charge. We like him. And then went, okay, leave him because he's doing a good job. Yeah. And then they killed him. But, you know, and then we got Stalin instead, which, you know, not a benevolent dictator. That's the problem, isn't it? You know, the benevolent dictator you start off with is not the one you're going to end up with. You know, they all die eventually.
I see.
There's wars, and then there's just wars, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah. Then there's holy wars.
Well, yes, that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole different thing. Oh, Tom on Twitter also wants to know, what is a misconception you held far longer than you feel you should have?
For a very, very long time, when I saw signs that said bridge may be icy and stuff like that, I thought it meant all year long. Like, I just thought it was a warning, a general warning that specific spot, for some reason, would just get randomly icy and you had to watch out. I think it took an obnoxiously long time. I can't even remember. Might have even been till, it was at least till high school, maybe till college, that I thought that.
That's amazing.
I mean, I've got, there's lots of words that I always, that I've read before I ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
So, those are always fun. There's a lot of words like that. One of the ones that, it wasn't actually me, but one of my mum's friends used to read misled as missled, which I think is really cute.
I heard that that's like a sign of like advanced intelligence or something, because it means you've read more words than you've encountered in real life or something.
Yes. So you're... Or it could just mean that you, it could just mean that you're hanging about with people who don't have very big vocabulary.
You're not bothering to look up how words are pronounced or...
I mean, I don't. Yeah. There's some like indicator of reading comprehension versus whatever. Like, you mispronounce words all the time because you've only seen them in print, and most people don't bother stopping to look words up when they read. So,
yeah, the ones I did wrong were, and I'm not even sure I'm getting this right now, archipelago.
I still don't. I live on one, and I don't know how to say that.
And hegemony.
I think that one's hegemony. Is it not?
Yeah, I always pronounce it as hegemony, and I think that's wrong. I think it's hegemony it's meant to be. Oh, yeah, but I could be wrong. I mean, either or. But as far as misconceptions, I don't know. I had a lot of misconceptions about religious people.
I, for one, am shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, growing up in an atheist hegemony. Household.
I just looked it up.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
I always thought it was hegemony. But archipelago. I think it's archipelago.
No, wait, I can't hear it correctly. Maybe I'm hearing it wrong. Turn off other thing I'm listening to. So here's a behind the scenes for everyone. Claire listens to stuff while she...
I can't do that.
Yeah, it's hegemony.
I can't do that.
Living on one, I've heard it pronounced both archipelago or something like that.
Oh, no. It's pretty certain it's archipelago.
Yeah, I've heard it pronounced a variety of ways.
I just don't. It's just, there's too many bits in that word. Like, it's a long word. I'm sorry.
My word that I always mispronounce was caduceus, which I always pronounce cajicaeus.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, is that the medical thing?
It's the medical symbol.
Wow, I've been pronouncing that wrong.
And so I was like, they're all saying it wrong, right? And then I looked it up and I was like, no, they're saying it right.
I thought it was Kedjaseus. That's funny.
Yep, it's Archipelago.
I was well into college before I knew that the nickname that my paternal grandfather had for me was very racist.
Oh, man.
He called me a Wapaho.
Oh, no.
Oh. Because my dad is Italian, and then the other side of my family is all Native American.
No.
And I said it like someone asked me about a nickname or something. I was like, yeah, I was my grandpa's little Wapaho. And someone looked at me, they're like, whoa, what? And I mean, she was Italian and she got it. I was like, well,
my very, very Italian friend in high school used to always jokingly call himself a WAP, so.
Yeah. So I didn't know that there were slurs for Italians. But, like, even more so is I didn't get that he was adding, like, the little Navajo racistly onto the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was fun. That one's actually more embarrassing than the fact that I thought I was a Republican until I was like 25.
So we're gonna go into political misconceptions.
Oh, yeah,
I thought that was a good thing.
I thought I was a Republican long enough to vote for Bush.
Oh no, see, we talked about that I had. We talked earlier. I don't remember if it was last week or if we were just talking about. I voted. Had a fake mock election in kindergarten, and I definitely voted for. Oh yeah, yeah, we were talking to Discord. And I voted for Clinton then. So my first,
which
vote
you
was
can
Democrat.
Join us in if you support us on Patreon. Anyway, go on.
Indeed.
Yeah. So my first little baby vote as like a kindergartner, whenever the fuck that was for Clinton. So
my was brought up for Bush and Quayle. And then I was.
So my first
then,
actual vote was for Obama, I believe.
Yeah,
Really?
I voted for Bush twice.
You're older than that, surely. That's weird. I was brought up by a couple of teachers, public school teachers. So, yeah, basically we were just a rampant unionism and socialist family. And if I dared to vote right wing in any way, I would have been disowned immediately.
Like, the best part about it is that a couple of my very liberal friends tried to put it to the test, and they would be like, well, what do you think about this? Do you think this is better or this is better? And I was like, oh, yeah, well, obviously this is better. And they're like, you are so... a Democrat. I was like, whatever, fuck you, I'm a Republican because my mom is.
Oh my god.
I didn't even live with my mom, and my mom was a Republican. I was like, yeah, I'm a Republican, whatever. Like, I marched into the DMV on my 18th birthday and registered.
Yep. And definitely my first vote was for Obama because the first time I could have voted was in 2004 when I was still in high school. And so I was in school when it was election day.
Yep, I voted.
So I couldn't vote until I was in
college. Why are you guys still at school when you're 18? That's insane. What's going on? That's like, we leave at 17.
I mean, that's when most people do. I didn't get into kindergarten until I was 6.
I was 18 for 2 months.
I just have these, I just remember watching these, like Twin Peaks and American TV shows, and all the kids at school were like 18 and 19 years old. I'm like, why are you still at school? Why? What the hell's going on? What, this is a weird place.
Quite a number of 18-year-olds. Usually seniors are 17 or 18.
Yeah, in America, you can go to a high school through 19 or 20, I think.
Yeah.
But after that point, you have to get a GED.
So, all right, okay.
Yeah. Mm.
But yeah, in general, it's not that uncommon to.
Yeah.
Well, we had, when I was teaching, I had some 18, 19, 20 year olds because they were refugees and they hadn't been through the school system yet. So they were allowed to go. Well, they were older, but you wouldn't get, you wouldn't regularly get an actual born citizen, I suppose. That's a weird way of saying it. Someone born in Australia with full citizenship would be out of school by the time they were 18.
Yeah.
But they do, sometimes they keep kids back. You have to repeat or whatever.
Yeah,
they,
I
don't do that very often.
I think my brother was in high school until 19, and then he was finally like, I give up. Oh, my brother. Another misconception I mentioned with Closeted in Canada earlier was that I didn't realize that the term hooking was not strictly a hockey term until I was in my 20s.
Oh, wow. Oh.
So I thought hooker was just another name for tripping someone on the
hockey
ice.
Player?
Hockey players.
Oh, I'd never heard the word hooker.
Yeah. I mean, if we're getting into like general personal misconceptions, then I mean, obviously there was a couple of us here who thought we were straight for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one.
That's a pretty big one.
That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, I think that I actually think that was possibly the only misconception I never had.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I'm
proud of that one.
In many ways, Imogen is the most wise of us. And in many ways, I realize how fucked we are because of that fact.
Yeah. It's not making me feel brimful of confidence. I'm sorry, guys.
We got a lot of puritanical nonsense over here. I think it's partly not our
fault. It's hard. I mean, we've got all of that too. I just happened to be born to.
That to a friend in the UK the other day, and I can't remember how it came up, but I was like, well, the reason Americans are so uptight is because we got all the religious zealots. We're like all the cool and looser moral people went to Australia. So really, this is your fault.
We got it's funny, I was chatting with my husband's cousin, and his wife came over for dinner the other night, and we were just chatting about the whole we got the criminals and you guys got the Puritans. It was funny because he was discussing why the Australians, you know, why the convicts got sent here was because in England they didn't have enough prison space.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
there were big they were doing the same thing with America before before you guys told them to fuck off. Anyway, apparently if you could get to Australia and survive, it was a pretty horrific journey. But once you got there, people were so, like, there were so few people there who were, so few white people there, you walked off, you were there for life for imprisonment or for murder or whatever you've done, whatever crime you've committed. And the governor would just go, oh, yeah, do whatever you want. And they set them free and let them have land. I mean, this is not what happened every time, but apparently there's a couple of cases of convicts going over there, being separated from their wives and riding back and saying, quick, go steal something. It's way better here than it is over there.
I did read that somewhere.
Go steal a loaf of bread. quick, get on a boat.
There's actually, I never got far enough into the series, but there's a young adult series called... like the Jackie Faber Chronicles or something like that.
Oh, yes. I keep meaning to read
that. Yeah, I need to reread the whole series. But the last book I read, she had been arrested for piracy and was being sent to Australia for being a pirate. And there was some historical figure that she met on the ship. I want to say like Sarah something. I don't know. But she met some real historical figure on the ship, and the next book was supposed to be about their relationship. So I never got that far.
Cool. No, I've heard they're really good. I should read them.
So milk, eggs, bread, Closet in Canada says. Grocery shopping. Are you a planner or do you just pick whatever strikes your fancy?
See, I plan, but best laid plans go straight out the window when you're as consistently tired as I am nowadays. Like my last grocery shopping, I got milk, but I also got popcorn, one whole cake, some cherry Pepsi, and a bag of cheese. A bag of shredded cheese. That is what I got for my shopping.
Oh, you're really like in the hole, because like I would think now that you're drinking cherry Pepsi and like eating bag cheese at 3 a.m.
No, I'm eating the popcorn
with the bag cheese.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's cheese.
That's
popcorn.
Like,
that would
that's
just
like
be
the single girl dinner. is like Diet Pepsi and like a handful of lunch meat, and then
I also swept a few frozen entrees into
there you go.
So there you go.
Oh, I even plan my impulse snack shopping. Like, I know what kind of mood I'm in when I go, and I don't bother putting it on the list. I'm like, I want Sour Patch Kids this week. So I go to the store and I've got my list and I'm going through the store. I'm actually what I would call an annoying shopper because I plan. Uh-huh. And then I also have, like, our store has one of those card membership things. Yeah. And so they have a phone app too. And then I'll get into the store and I'll be like searching through the app, like looking for whatever's on my list so I can see if it's on special. And then I go around and I find all the things and I scan them and I check the list. And so,
like, yeah, I do not now, nor have ever done that. I did used to plan better, but I don't have the patience for those things.
I have very fussy children. There's like a list of about 3 separate things I'll eat. so that they are always on the list. Yeah. Apart from that though, apart from that, we have a meal subscription program because I cannot be fucked. We would be really bad before we started doing the meal subscription. HelloFresh, if you'd like to sponsor us, by the way, you're very good.
But yeah, they don't before we did that, Hawaii. We used to go, bummer.
No, they we did a we used to have like a very small rotation of meals that we would cook, but. Yeah, we every time I bought fresh ingredients, something would come up. Like, my husband would have to work late, or the kids would be sick, or I'd have to go out, or something would happen with my mom. And so I would buy all this lovely fresh ingredients, like, you know, the stuff that goes off. Yeah. And it would just go off. And I was just like, oh, you know, I'm so fucking sick of this.
Oh, yeah. I did that all the time.
Yeah, I do so much home cooking now, like, largely because I have the luxury of going to the store every day. So the fresh ingredients don't go off before I use them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a great privilege.
I do not mentally like going to the store every day. I can put up with it once a week. But
I love it every day. I Friday.
But the other thing is as well that my family, my fucking family, they're so fussy. None of them will eat one pot meals. Like, none of them like stews or casseroles or anything like that. And I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake. And so it's like, I can't make a big pot of chili and then if something goes wrong, we just have that, you know? It's just not, there's no easily storable food that they will eat. And I'm just like, so, because we end up making, if I make something big though as well, I put it in the fridge and my husband doesn't eat leftovers either. And I don't know, like, there's just some sort of switch in his head.
You can't see me right now, but I'm like doing the shifty eyes thing.
And you won't eat leftovers either.
I have a threshold on what I will eat as a leftover, like maybe overnight. More likely if it was, I don't know why, but if it was sitting out overnight and didn't like largely change temperature, which as a former food service employee, I know that's terrible.
It's real. You're telling me that your gallbladder is bad. I don't think it's your gallbladder, honey. I think you should just stop eating 2-day-old pizza from the counter.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I think
I'll eat leftovers. The problem is, Travis will also eat leftovers, but then a lot of times he won't take them with him to work, or he'll think I'm eating them or something. So he doesn't eat any, so it's up to me to eat all of it. So inevitably I get sick of it, and so then inevitably it goes.
Yeah, down. That's another thing, is I get food fatigue like really easily.
Well, my mum was a single mum and she was working, you know, full time. And she used to cook big spaghetti bolognese, tubs of spaghetti bolognese, big things of casseroles, big and she used to do it like that. She did that once a week. There'd be a big cook off, and all of that would go into individual little frozen meals and go in the freezer, and we just heat them up and eat them. And but I'm apparently not allowed to do that for my family because
God, that would drive me nuts. Because I do that a couple times a week. I'll make extra of something that I know that Baby Bi likes to take to school to make sure that she has
it. I used to do that.
Then,
I was so good about it for the longest time. But this whole past, see, my whole life is spread up into semesters. I was gonna say this last semester, I haven't been sleeping, so I've made jack and shit for myself.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, the HelloFresh things, because I've got four people in the house, yeah. But two of them are kids.
I mean, the problem is me and Travis are really indecisive, so we actually looked into that. And then we're like, do we want to do this? And then we never decided, and now we forgot.
I mean, it just takes away the hassle of going to the shop.
I mean, I think it's a really good idea, and we probably should do it.
And I'm pretty sure we're saving money on it too, because I used to throw out so much stuff.
You're not wasting as much.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is my problem. So, like, Travis will do that. There's some recipe he wants to make, and so he'll get all the stuff for it, but then he gets extra busy or something, and so he doesn't make it, and I don't know why it's there. And so and then it goes bad, and
that's why we use
We have
a family shopping
list. Why do we have truffle oil?
We have a family shopping list. Like, I got tired of not knowing what we had and what we didn't have and what someone had planned to make and what someone didn't plan to make or what someone had used. So
Travis will tell me what I'll pick it up for him, but I don't know what he wants to make. And so then I'll be waiting for him to make it, and then he never does, and then I guess
the shopping list, though, I have to say, like, we have the shopping list, and still, like, three times a week, I get a text message from my husband. Oh, do you need me to pick anything up at the store? I'm like, yeah, I put it on the list. But like, yeah, but what is it? I'm like, it's on the list. And by this time, I probably could have just saved myself, you know, 10 minutes and told him. But but we put the list. We use something up. We put it on the list. And all he's got to do is check the list.
I just remember that one time you posted the picture of all the condiments you just bought. I'm like, fucking hell, that's a lot of sauce.
So many
condiments, like 17 different bottles of stuff you're stiff on.
Oh, it's so funny. I mean, we ran out of everything at once. Like, we do use quite a few condiments. My husband and baby by use a lot of hot sauce, and I did until just recently when I started having problems with it.
Yeah,
and
gallbladder revolt.
Yeah, gallbladder.
Or lack thereof in your case.
Yeah. And they don't just use, like, hot sauce. There's, like in this family, we understand that there's different hot sauces for different purposes. You know, like, you can't use a vinegar-based hot sauce on Asian food. Like, that's just not... You're going to ruin everything. You need something that's like...
So I was going to say, do you have like one for cereal and one for ice cream?
You know what? If someone was going to put it on cereal or ice cream, it would be my husband. And I found, like, online, I got an advert in an email for like a Magnum of Hidden Valley Ranch dressing. And I joked that I was going to get it for my husband for Christmas. I was like, it would take us like a month to go through it. Like, that's, we get the big ones, like the big Costco-sized ones, and we go through it really fast. I think people outside the States don't really understand ranch dressing, so.
I love ranch dressing, but my daughter loves mayonnaise, which is just like, I don't know what happened. She's obviously not my daughter genetically, because it's just weird.
Well, she's obviously not a millennial either, because like, they've apparently destroyed the mayonnaise industry. Claire!
Just let her study, what was it, like gender studies or whatever.
Gender studies.
She won't like it anymore.
She won't touch mayonnaise ever again.
That's hilarious. But yeah, well, my son will put tomato sauce on everything, and my daughter will put mayonnaise on everything.
Actual tomato sauce, or is he putting ketchup on things?
Well, you call it ketchup, do you? It's tomato sauce here, but yes.
Basically, it's like two squished tomatoes and vinegar, basically.
Well, tomatoes, what you're talking about, tomato sauce is canned tomatoes, isn't it? Or stuff you put in pasta?
Like canned,
yeah.
Used for like pasta sauce.
But you'd use to make pasta
Well,
sauce.
We'd call that pasta sauce.
I was just going to say, that's like the base and the start of pasta. Pasta doesn't like grow, pasta sauce doesn't grow in the wild.
No, what we do with tomato, the tomatoes that you use for pasta sauce are in a can, but they're still tomatoes, they're not sauce.
Sometimes
they're kind of. It depends on what you get.
They're chopped up and they're in juice, but
no,
they're not.
No, there's
sauce.
Actual like
pureed tomatoes in a can that's like sauce.
Oh, sauce. Puree.
Yeah, like there's puree. There's crushed. There's diced.
You
can buy tomato
paste. Yeah, we don't get the pureed ones. I got tomato paste. Yeah, but we get diced or whole canned tomatoes.
Yeah, we get diced, whole, skinned, paste.
crushed, pureed. Yeah. I still to this day can't tell the difference between crushed and pureed or crushed in sauce, really. But yeah, like it.
Yeah, we used to use canned tomatoes. We used canned diced tomatoes as the base for a pasta sauce. But we wouldn't call it tomato sauce because it's still got actual tomato bits in it. So, yeah. There you go. Cultural differences with Mary and the others.
Yeah. It's wild. Blows my mind.
It is wild.
Blows my mind. So,
anyway,
let me see. What's that?
I agree, though.
Go on.
Tomato sauce should ketchup should not be called tomato sauce because it doesn't taste anything like tomatoes. Yeah,
but the FDA has said it's a vegetable.
It's a whole thing. Like you can apparently ketchup does not specifically denote tomatoes. Like most people think tomatoes, but there's also like you can have like
oh yeah, it's like tomato ketchup.
Banana ketchup.
There is actually banana pepper ketchup. I've seen it.
Yeah, like you just need. Whatever vinegar
I think,
and sugar or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's just like the base vegetable fruit, whatever it is, vinegar and sugar, basically.
And so it's usually tomatoes, but it's not always.
Yeah, tomatoes are definitely the most popular one in America.
Yeah. Oh, God. We thought we'd done our food discussion.
It was going to happen. We should have just let it happen.
It was going to happen.
It's always going to happen.
I ate all my pistachio nuts, so I can't. Just snack in between talking.
I'm doing better Pepsi. Because I've got my peppermint mocha here. Oh,
I'm just gonna cry because I don't have a peppermint mocha and I don't have any Taco Bell and I don't have any pistachio nuts.
I'm gonna try in your treat box, in your treat exchange box. I'm gonna try and see what I can do. You're probably gonna get like a Ziploc bag full.
I mean,
of
the sauce packets
hot
definitely
sauce packets.
Give a special,
a certain je ne sais quoi.
A feeling of Taco Bell to literally anything you're eating. That's why I heard them.
A Taco Bell je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, that's why I hoard them for any occasion. It's like I went to Taco Bell.
We've got a Peri Peri chicken. We've got a peri-peri chicken place around the corner from us, which is really good. And they've got like little packets of peri-peri sauce that comes with it. And like, yeah, we hoard those away every now and then because the kids want bland food and I just want something with flavor on it.
When the Taco Bell green sauce, I can't remember the name for it anymore all of a sudden. The Verde sauce, Taco Bell Verde sauce. When they bring that back, I hoard it. Because it's crap, but it's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. God, I'm hungry. God. Tell me, give me a question that's not to do
okay,
with
yeah.
food.
Oh, okay. Please. Okay. So we had the option of doing another FMK, or I thought we could dip into some Victorian era advice today.
Yeah.
I think we should go for some Victorian era advice. I think that'd be good.
That's good because that's what I planned. So I found an article in the Telegraph of all places. So we know this.
Oh, yay.
So we know this is going to be good.
quality journalism, right?
Quality journalism of Victorian era advice for young brides.
Oh, cool.
And it's of course written by a man.
Oh, yes.
You know, and it starts out with such things as the benefits of marriage are that a married life conduces to such correctness of living as tends to improve the steady and general conduct. But
okay.
But I don't understand. It's the language, obviously, but it really gets fun when I get down to the section about sexual indulgences.
Indulgences as in the Catholic term indulgences or just sexual?
Now that we
see,
you
guys are,
did.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I mean, you don't need sexual indulgences because the indulgences you could use, it's a universal thing.
Yeah, it's just a universal indulgence.
Buy yourself into heaven. You don't need it to be specifically sexual.
You could probably buy an indulgence and, you know, put porn on Tumblr, so
it'd be okay with the Catholic Church, but not okay with Tumblr.
Oh man, it's so sad because it's true.
Yes.
Okay, so
I mean, if Tumblr should introduce an indulgences
I saw someone talking about that the other day.
Oh, people, oh boy. Like it worked perfectly. Money making.
So apparently one of the perks of young women in Victorian England marrying is because the intercourse between the sexes and married life is best, most propitious, most complete, and most promising for the future of the race, being as it is exclusive and regulated by the bonds of religion and custom, not promiscuous and deviating, not varied and risky, and not wayward and wanton, but right and orderly.
Oh, I will tell you 100% that's what the Catholic Church still teaches.
Well, yeah, Victorian England.
You should hear my morality teacher go on about how good sex is, but only when you're married.
Oh, it's just even better sounding, it goes on. Sexual indulgences are, under marriage association, kept down to a reasonable and harmless minimum.
Well, that's probably right. Yeah.
I mean, I was talking to someone about how marriage is a transaction, you know? It's like, I agree to have sex with you forever, and you agree to help me pay the bills. Yes. And they're like, what is it? His birthday?
Oh, touché. I mean, that's hilarious, too. Like, a reason, like, the conclusion they've come to is you get married so you have sex less. Yeah. I mean,
but you're not allowed to have sex otherwise.
Yes. Exactly. So how the hell did they get, and also Victorian England was Protestant.
I think so. So that, I was going to ask, I couldn't remember, but
yeah, they were Protestant. I'm just saying, like, I mean, they didn't diverge that much theologically. No,
the rules were all pretty much the same. Yeah.
Oh, I was my husband and I were watching a comedian last night, and he's this guy, his humor, if he didn't push it so far, it would just be outright offensive, but he goes to the absurd level with it. And he was talking about, you know, how he wanted sex with his wife one night, and she was like, no, I'm not really up for it. And he was like, well, okay, just a blowjob then. And he was like, and I didn't know that apparently that was an upsell.
It's harder.
I would way rather just full on have sex.
Well, I'm saying that's like, if you don't want to have sex, that's a lot less work having actual sex than giving a blowjob.
It is. Yes. It really is. It's so much less work. You just lay there.
I mean, okay, too much information, but if you're going to go all the way and finish with the blowjob, it hurts your jaw. I mean, it really does.
It does, not and like you getting... run the risk of getting it in your sinuses.
Yes, indeed. I've got to say, Brandon, as having been a mostly swallow girl for most of my life, after hearing that story of yours, I switched to spitting.
See, that's where we different. Like, that's where we differ. I'm like, wow, it can't get any worse than that. I survived that. I might as well keep it up.
Yeah, but it might happen again, Brett.
Yeah, but I didn't die. If you recall.
True. I think I might have preferred to die.
A bullet to the brain.
So yeah, I mean, I want to know who is raising these men. Out there,
oh God,
that they come into relationships
not
that they come into relationships not understanding that that you know, a blowjob is not a concession.
I mean, at that point, I would have just been like, oh no, if anyone's getting oral here, you're the one that wants to do things. Yes. I'll lay back, you go ahead.
I will do anything if all I have to do is lay there. Like, and we were watching a TV show last night, and like this guy and this girl were doing made for TV sex, and the girl's just laying there, and she picks up her phone. He's like, "Are you having a good time?" She's like, "Yeah." Well, I'm hot. I don't have to do anything but lay here. Sex with me is mind blowing by default. So I mean, like, that's I treasure that attitude.
It's funny actually, because sometimes I'm like, yeah, okay, I probably should have sex with my husband. I enjoy it. I'm like, oh, that's right. It's quite nice.
I know, but you're like, oh, I forgot I like this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, very because... similar to taking a shower in that you're like, oh, I don't want to. But once you do, yeah. You're like, the fuck? Why don't I do this all the time?
Exactly. It's very much like that. I was just like, because we have kids, so having sex, quite young kids, having sex is quite difficult to coordinate. especially because my son is a very, very weird sleeper. He'll go to bed, he'll get up, you know, an hour later and just wander into our room. And that can be dodgy sometimes. I think we managed to hide what we were doing.
I would invest in some good locks.
No, see, we just run under the theory that if you wander in unannounced, you get what you get.
Yeah,
because when they get older, then they're like, all you have to do is mention sex, and they're like, you know what? I'm gonna leave. You guys do what you do.
Yes. Oh wow. Yeah, my daughter sleeps like the dead. Like she goes to sleep and you can't wake her up until the morning. But my son is a very light sleeper, so we've spent the last 10 years of our lives having sex extraordinarily quietly. there's that TV show where the two black women were talking about. Oh, that's right. On Orange is the New Black, when Pucy and her friend were talking about what it's like to be white. They're talking about, you know, I'm going to go to yoga and then we're going to go to the farmer's market and then we're going to go home and have really quiet sex. I'm like, yes. That's pretty much my life.
Oh, although I will concede to my friend who was like, I don't think if I was a mother I would teach my son about, you know, the degrees of sex. So, I mean, it does beg, I mean, my insistence that these boys be brought up properly does beg the question, who is going to teach them?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that kind of falls under a bro code, girl code kind of thing. Like, mom, take your girls aside and be like, okay, look.
Yeah, I mean, that's one. I mean, I've told them how it works. Like, I've told them that stuff. But I like the idea of having a sit down talk with my daughter about masturbation or something like that would be just like the most. It's just I can't even conceive of how to do that. I mean, I'll get her a book and give it to her and say, look, read this. It'll give you some hints and tips. But please don't ask me about it.
as a seasoned parent of sex education.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, get the book, let her read it, and then do a pop quiz. And watch her beg for the ground to open up and swallow her.
I made the mistake once of telling my daughter that she was embarrassed. I don't remember what I was doing, but apparently it was embarrassing. And I made the mistake of telling her once that that's my job. I'm your mum. I'm here to embarrass you. That's what I do. And she's like, no, it's not your freaking job. It's not your job to embarrass me. I was like, is this? On the contract, you signed it when you came out.
Whip out the job description. Yeah. This
make
is
my
what
daughter's
I apply
life
for.
An embarrassed hell. Yeah, doing a great job there.
Oh, and
they're not very baby. They're not very easily embarrassed, though.
Yeah, baby Vi's gotten to an age now, and she's in a public school now. So like her humor has taken that typical teenage turn for the dirty.
Yeah,
and the thing is, like in this family.
She's got nothing to do with her upbringing, has it?
she's in a position now where she frequently bites off more than she's willing to chew. Like she'll try to make a dick joke at dinner, and then, you know, like dad and I will like counter with a better dick joke, and then we high five each other, and she's like, "Why do I talk? Why do I talk?"
Oh man, I love it. I love it. Oh,
so you just once your field of fucks goes barren, parenting gets way more fun.
Oh, my field of fucks went barren a long time ago.
You get them to an age where they can, you know, like survive on their own.
Yeah. Yeah. All of our cupboards in the kitchen are very high, so the only thing I have to do for them these days is get them glasses, but that's about it. And so it's good. I do have to cook for them occasionally too. It sucks, but one day they'll learn how to do that too.
Well, I didn't
actually talk to my sister.
Go ahead.
I talked to my daughter about. She said, "I want pancakes for breakfast." I'm like, "Well, you'll just have to learn how to make them." I'm like, "Oh no, that's a can of worms I don't want to open." But I've promised a teacher this holidays to do a few things that she likes to
eat. I'm just like, you better get on that, because otherwise you're going to wake up and find her trying on her own, and your pancakes will look like fried chicken.
I think you posted a picture of the first time Jada did.
I did.
It was great.
Everybody thought it was fried chicken. She was so mad, too. It was great.
Oh, wow.
The sex conversation took a lot longer than I thought it would, so I will say, Victorian England thoughts on feminism for another time.
Excellent.
But let me tell you that I had to look up the word Klondike and find out why it was used as a slur. So you have that coming in the future.
Awesome. What
would you do for a Klondike? There's no bar involved. Oh my god, I'm gonna pee.
Don't pee. Okay, thank you guys.
If you have thoughts on feminism in Victorian England,
or would like to tell us what you would do for a Klondike.
What would you do for a Klondike?
Or tell us the trade-off you're willing to give for a blowjob. How do you make that upsell?
Yes.
You can write to us at...
If you're a dude, tell us how you convince her. We don't know.
You can write to us at bibibicast@gmail.com.
And provided you haven't flooded Tumblr or something, you can also go to bybycast.tumblr.com.
You can still ask sex questions in text only on Tumblr, so you guys are good.
Yeah, I mean, they're hidden in my box. So Tumblr can't at you, so you know, you're fine.
Oh, hey, we also have a Twitter, which you can now reach us on Twitter, as Tom did. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
At bye podcast.
Yep, which you can also find a link to on the Tumblr, as well as our Patreon.
Yeah, so our Patreon is patreon.com/bye or one word, and you can become a patron there and see Brandon's shiny show notes and come and hang out with us on Discord and have some chats.
And eventually some written discussion of other people's advice.
Yes. And I mean, I know that actually, Claire, you've got a whole heap of Bye 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 merchandise on your, what's that
Redbubble
called? Redbubble. So if you guys want like a t-shirt with Bye 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 on it, and you can probably find stuff like that there.
Definitely.
Also a link to on the Tumblr, I'm pretty sure.
Awesome. So yeah, we have merch. We actually do have merch.
We have merch.
It's all Claire related. So
when we're finally big and famous mavens and we're doing like the con circuit and stuff, we'll have like a merch. We'll have a merch table.
Yes, that's right. We'll put Canada on there. She could be our door bitch and sell the merch at our concerts.
Oh my gosh, thanks guys.
It's always a pleasure. We'll see you next week. It is. It's always great. Bye bye bye.
Bye bye bye. Boys and girls.
Don't put it in your mouth.
Hey, what am I doing? I don't even like beets.
Then don't put it in your mouth. Bye bye, everyone.